Good morning, everybody. As some people know, I grew up in Brisbane, in suburbia in Stafford. So when my mum and dad bought their house, there was when they got married, they bought their house. The whole street houses were built at the same time. So our street was filled with kids about the same age, which was great. So we were able to have lots of friends and do lots of things and injure ourselves with each other, humiliate ourselves around each other. It was a great place to grow up. Our house had a fence around it, and I think you could probably picture this. It was a white fence, and it was about this high, and it had posts and white bits across, and then the chain link in between. You know what I mean? Yep. So the fence was about this high all the way around. So not significant, but enough. And I remember as I grew up, I was really tight friends with the next door neighbours. So there were two boys there, and one was 1 year younger than me and the other was 3 years younger-ish. So we used to do everything together. It would be fair to say they were naughty and I was the good one. that's my memory, I don't know, whatever. But we used to play all the time. And I remember probably, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 year old, something like that, the fence came down. I think it came down because we'd run into it, swung off it, climbed over it, walked along it so often, it just gave up. And all of a sudden, our yard became so much bigger. Because with that fence gone, the BMX track was double the size. The cricket pitch was double the size. The toad hunting, I'm not supposed to confess that, am I? Anyway, everything we had was gone. The fence was so small, and yet it made such a significant difference. Because we all build fences. We build fences to know where our property finishes. We build fences to know this is my side, this is your side. I can be here, you can't be here. This is where it's safe for me. This is my property. You know, we'd flay each other's houses. We'd get to the front gate and we'd stop. It wasn't just a come on in. There's a reason the fence was there. We all built fences. And we all build fences in our lives. We have fences that enable us to feel safe, to feel secure. We can do stuff that we like there. It doesn't matter what the neighbours think because it's our stuff. It's our place. And we build it to be able to be safe. But we also have that same space where we keep everyone out. The theme for our year is stepping beyond the fence. I want to give a little bit of history. So some people have heard this message-ish so often, they're like, oh, I knew I shouldn't have come today. There is a twist at the end. But I just want to give people a bit of a history. So we started off in 2025 with Beyond the Fence. And it came out of John 15. And we talked about how we have a fence built around us in our lives. That we're safe, we're secure in our property, and people can't come in until we allow them in. And we don't go out because it's safe and comfortable where we are. We as a church have a fence around us. We have a place where it's safe here, where we feel protected here, where we feel secure here, and out there is a bit scary and a bit not us and a bit horrible. We have those fences. But I believe that God's calling us to step beyond the fence, to go beyond where we are. I believe that God is challenging us to transform our community. We're being called to reach beyond the fence, into the uncomfortable surroundings around us, and transform the community that we're a part of. In 2025, we had Stepping Beyond the Fence, and as we prayed at the end of 25, we felt that God wasn't done with this yet. There's an element of us, hands up if you were brought up as a Baptist. A few of us. Not me, I wasn't, but you know, a few of us. We do evangelism, don't we? We believe in evangelism. We believe in going out into our community. We believe it so strongly and so firmly. That's a foundational part of who we are. But how often do we actually do it? We got it in our heads. We believe it in our heads, but we don't actually get out and do it. So this year we felt that God was calling us to stepping beyond the fence, not just to have the head knowledge and conviction of saying, yes, we are about changing our community, transforming our community. We're about getting out there. That's who we are. But we believe that it's time for us to step out and do it, to step out past our fence. My preference is that we just smash this fence so hard it doesn't exist any longer, that we walk away from what's just comfortable into what's a bit scary, walk out of what's safe into what's unsafe, to step from what's clean and tidy and ordered into what's a bit messy and unordered. We don't just wait for people to come and knock on our gate, but we knock the gate down so that we can go out into the community. This came out of John 15. It's the parable of the vine, which Louise read out. Thank you, Louise. So we read that, and I just want to revisit a couple of points, because the parable of the vine is so important. Jesus says that I am the vine, he is the vine, and we are the branches. The first thing is that we abide in Christ. Who we are is abiding, connecting, being grafted into the vine, into Jesus. We as people, as Christians, we as the church are grafted in to the body of Christ. We get our nutrients, we get our sustenance from Christ. We get who we are, our identity, our calling, our purpose from Christ. And we are abiding in Jesus. And as we abide in Jesus, Jesus is able to move through us. We're grafted into the vine, the body of Christ. And as we as individuals are branches, we as the church are branches that God is working with, that God is nourishing, that God is spreading his words of truth and life into the community through. And as a part of that, he does prune us. He prunes us for our good. He knows who we can be, and he knows who we are. And he knows that we can be more like Jesus. And as we work towards being like Jesus, Jesus helps us to become more like Jesus. And he prunes us as Christians and as a church so that we can be more like him. And is there a purpose in that? There is. It is to bear fruit. We know Jesus. We walk in Jesus. We live in Jesus. Jesus prunes us so that we can bear fruit. Our purpose, our calling as Christians and as a church is to bear fruit. Now, most of you know that I have an orchard, or what might be more accurate is I have four trees that grow fruit. And to be fair, they grow fruit in spite of my gardening rather than because of my gardening. And you know what's nuts? They actually produce fruit. I have a couple of trees that I don't, little orangey things, maybe apricot, like, you know, I don't eat them. Yuck. But I grow them. And I only discovered that a few months ago because it had fruit on the tree. And I went, oh, look, there's fruit. I should pick that. And then a week later, oh, no fruit. The birds liked it more than I did. You know? So I'm a committed gardener. And you know what I didn't need to do? I didn't need to go down at the tree and say, right now, this is the time, the place, you're a fruit tree, which I didn't know. You're a fruit tree and you should produce fruit. Now go do it. I didn't do that. Surprisingly. And I don't need to do that. Why? Because a tree's purpose is to grow fruit. Yeah? That's what it's there for. You know what? I don't need to shout at you to go and bear fruit. Why not? Because it's who you are. It's who we are. We as Christians are here to bear fruit. It's not something we should be working on, working, working, working on. It should be a natural outflow of who we are. As we're abiding in Christ, as we're connected to Jesus, as we're walking with the body of Christ, as we and the other churches are expressing Jesus to our community, as we're going about transforming our community, as Jesus works with us to make us more like him, to make us more like who he has us to be, we produce fruit. Is that how it feels? It doesn't feel like that, does it? We as Baptists are committed to evangelism. We're committed to transforming our community. We're committed to being reaching out. It is a part of who we are, and yet so often we struggle to actually do it. There's another passage I'd like to look at, and it's in James 2. So keep going for a bit, Margaret. We'll get there. Keep going. Yes. So what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If any one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and be fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there's one God. Good, even the demons believe that and shudder. So why do we do what we do? Is there a difference between our faith and our deeds? Well, there is. James is saying here that there is a difference between our deeds and our faith, and they need to reflect each other. Our faith is where we step out in. Our faith is what we believe. Our faith is what we trust that's going to happen. Our deeds are our behaviours and actions. What are our behaviours? What are our actions? What are our deeds? I think there's two things that grow into what our deeds are, what our behaviours are. Two things, and I think there's beliefs and there's values. Beliefs are the convictions or the accepted truths that individuals hold about the world, themselves or others, which may or may not be based on evidence. There's things that we believe to be true. We believe the Bible to be true. We believe what's in the Bible to be true. We believe lots of stuff about who we are and what's in our world to be true. We have beliefs. But then we also have values. And values are the guiding principles that flow from our true beliefs. Christian values emphasize love, humility, compassion, righteousness, and an eternal perspective, providing a framework for ethical decisions and interactions with others. Often we have values and we have beliefs, and they're in contrast. We have what we believe to be true, but then we have our values and they interact differently than what our beliefs do. So often they're in conflict and we don't know until they are. I had a discussion or a chat with a pastor last week. And as we're talking, we're talking about, I don't even know how we got there, but divorce. So we're talking about divorce and marriage and what that looks like. And he was saying, he came from a very conservative, traditional perspective of marriage, that when you're married, you're there for life and that's it and that's commitment and that's what it looks like. And then he said, my brother got married a couple of years ago. And it was a very bad relationship. And it was a very bad place. And he was in a bad, bad place. And he left her and divorced her. And he said, it's amazing how our values change when it's family. His belief was that marriage is forever no matter what. That's his belief. But then when it became family and he saw the disruption and the hurt and the pain and the continual pain in that relationship, and he saw that it was negative and horrible and unhelpful and it broke up, then his values of family override his belief. And so often we have our beliefs, this is what's true, this is what's true, this is what's true, until our values come up. And all of a sudden, we are in a different place. And they're in conflict. And we need to understand that they can be in conflict, but we need to work on building a connection between that. Because our actions, our behaviours, are a mixture of our beliefs and values. Some which we are aware of and some that we are not aware of. How does this work? stepping beyond the fence. We believe that. Hands up if you don't believe it. You've got to be pretty brave to put your hand up, by the way. Thanks, Michael, get out. We believe that, yeah? That's a belief. We read in the Bible, it tells us to do that. Matthew 28, go into all the world. Constantly, Jesus is saying, go out, go, 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 go. We know that. But we believe that. But do we value that? When it comes time to say, I'm going to follow my beliefs and I'm going to talk to this person about Jesus, what are our values doing to our beliefs? There's another story that Jesus told, parable of the two sons. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work for me today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and he went. The father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Jesus asked the Pharisees, which of the two of these did what the father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus was saying that there's those that make promises and follow them through, and those that follow them through without making the promises. That there's that time of saying, I have a belief that I'm going to, but I don't do it. And God's saying, or Jesus is saying here, it's far better that you actually do what you're asked rather than just believe it. Our belief without action is meaningless and worthless. So we've got interaction between beliefs and values. And they impact our behavior, they direct and dictate our behavior. But there's another word I want to throw in because, you know, if you've got two, you've got to have three. Third word, faith. So where does faith come into all of this? James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. We're called to actively work out our faith. We can't just hold on to a faith and say, a faith's going to happen. We need to work it out. Our faith in Jesus, we are a Christian, we are a follower of Christ. If we're not working that out and living as Jesus, then it's meaningless. Our life needs to be working out who we are. And our faith helps us to understand who we're going to become. I like to play with maths a little bit, and I want to throw out maths, which I hope is right. Faith equals our belief plus our values. Our values and our beliefs together show our faith. So how do these three words interact together? Beliefs form the foundation of a person's identity, guide our actions and our decisions. Beliefs are what I attest to be true. Values are the principles that we prioritize and act with, shaping our behavior and interactions with others. Faith is the commitment to what we know to be true, which provides the purpose, plans, and reasoning undergirding our lives. Faith forms a commitment to the promises and outcomes that I am convinced will come to be to give purpose and direction to our lives. Our faith is our reason, our purpose, our driving force, for holding on to and committing to our beliefs and our values. So what does this look like? When I was younger, I rode a BMX bike. I'd like to say I rode it well. The scars on my body say I probably don't. But we all had goals, and the goals were to go big or to go home. Through the bush, we had all these jumps that we made, because, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, we carried shovels down to the bush, and we made jumps. And we made jumps. Okay, is this being recorded? We made jumps, and we used to put fires in them and jump fires. Like, we all did that, right? We used to build jumps, and we had people lay down and jump over them, because we all did that, right? So we had jumps, and there were little jumps, and there were big jumps, and there were big jumps. And coolest kid on the block, you had to go over the big one. Yeah? No. Wow. I'm it. No wonder I'm so scarred. Mate, you had to go over the big ones. But to go over the big ones, you had to go to the little ones. You had to learn how to do it. And then when it came to the big ones, you had to be 100%. You had to be fully committed. You had to go as hard as you could. Because if you were 50% over the big one, you were guaranteed to not walk out of that forest. And we called the ambulance a fair bit. I don't think the lady who lived next door to the bush liked us. Hi, Dean fell off again. We better bring an ambulance again. You had to be committed. So how does this work? Belief is standing at the bottom going, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I know I can do this. Our values are doing the smaller ones and learning and practicing so that I can actually do this. Faith is at the beginning looking, going, my goal is there, I know that I can do it, and I know that I'll get there, and I need to do some steps and trust that I'll get to that place. When we have faith in God, we know that God's going to get us there. That's without question. We know that's going to happen. That's ahead of us. But it's not going to be tomorrow. That God's going to take us through a journey to get there. There's beliefs that we have that are going to be confronted. There's values that we have that we don't even know that we're going to be confronted. And that one day we're going to be standing at the top of this hill, riding 100%, going, I'm going to make this, having faith in myself. There's times in our life where we're going 100%, going, God, I trust you to get me there. We've got to walk in faith. And faith without deeds is dead. So what stops us? What stops us? Well, the first thing is previous negative experience. There's been times where we've been burnt. There's times where we've shared the gospel and it's gone less well. There's times where we've tried really hard and we failed. And there's times where we feel as if we failed and we feel as if we've done no well, and we own those feelings more than we feel the truth. Do you realize that some of our past experiences are actually not experiences, but they're feelings of what we thought we had done? And when we look at evangelism, and we look back at, oh, look, all these times, we will focus on the negative, and we'll focus on our feelings, and we'll focus on our perceived failings, and we'll own that as being our history and our experience. Why don't I talk to people about Jesus? Well, look at all of this. Some of it is true. Some of which we don't actually know the whole story. Some of which we risked and we looked a bit iffy. Some of this didn't actually happen, but we thought it might. We don't do the things we do because of our past experience, which may or may not be true, but stop us from stepping out and taking a risk. Why else don't we do it? What stops us? Anxiety. Anxiety is something that is so rampant in our world. In our world today, there's anxiety everywhere. So what's anxiety? Anxiety is an emotion characterized by an unpleasant state of inner turmoil, includes feelings of dread over anticipated events. Anxiety is different from fear in that fear is defined as the emotional response to a present threat, whereas anxiety is the anticipation of a future one. Our anxiety is playing out of what can possibly go wrong. What can possibly go wrong? No more can go wrong. What else can go wrong? I couldn't possibly do that because look at all of these things which may or may not go wrong. Anxiety is anticipating what may or may not happen, even though it may or may not be a problem. Anxiety will stop us from doing what we're called to do. Anxiety will stop us from doing what we want to do. Our world is filled with anxiety. The young people in our world have incredible anxiety and they're plagued by it. And you know what the worst thing is? Anxiety is contagious. If I'm anxious, the people around me will be anxious. We'll pick it up. And when we talk to evangelism, if I was to come down and talk to you about, who have you spoken to about Jesus? I can imagine the anxiety start to rise and start to rise and start to rise. When it starts to rise, we all catch it. It's contagious. So we have anxiety. What else stops us? Fear. Fear stops us. Anxiety is what might happen. Fear is the actually it could happen. So what are we afraid of? Let's think about it. What are we truly afraid of by sharing the gospel? That we might get rejected, might get persecuted, might be mocked, that we might look like something. We don't do it because of what we perceive might happen. And we look at it and we go, if I share about Jesus, then this might happen. And so I can't do that. And fear stops us. You know, all of those things. How permanent are those things? How permanent is looking bad? How permanent is persecution in Australia? Got to tell you, persecution looks very different overseas. What's the worst that can happen to us in Australia? We fear that we might look like something that we don't want to be. We fear we might look like something that Jesus doesn't want me to look like. We fear perhaps a loss of something, a loss of relationship. We fear a loss of identity, a loss of something. We fear, and we don't talk to people about Jesus because of our fear. And the last point, we don't talk about Jesus because I don't know what to say. You know, I'm going to be really blunt here. Learn it. Find out what to say. Sorry, I'm being really blunt. But it's an excuse, isn't it? I don't know what to say. It's just an excuse. We can find out. We can learn. There's so many places that we can learn what to say. Talking to others instantly, we'll find something that we can say. It's our fear, our anxiety. It's our mind that stops us from doing what we want to do, from doing what God's calling us to do. We're to step out in faith, trusting God, walking in His ways, walking in what He's got in front of us. And these things are going to stop us from being God's people, from doing what God wants us to do. So how do we live out our faith? True faith is more than simply believing. It's something we need to hold on to. You see, I can believe that China is a real country. Anyone believe that China is a real country? How does that affect your lives? Apart from pretty much everything we own these days. Doesn't affect our lives. If we believe China is a country or not, makes no difference, does it? It's just out there. We have a belief that China is real. Do we believe that planes can fly? Yes. Well, anyone not? We know planes can fly. We watch them fly all the time. They're actually safer than cars. The consequences are harder, but, you know, they're safer than cars. They fly all the time. I have belief that a plane can fly. I have faith that a plane can fly when I climb into a plane and sit in it. I have faith that China exists when I walk up to the steps in a plane, sit in it, and say to the pilot, take me to China. Although that, you know, doesn't really happen. But faith is working out our beliefs, working out our values, in trusting God, in bringing about what He's calling us into. We're called to walk in faith. We're called to work with our beliefs and our values to align them to who God is and what God's calling us to. As we are abiding in Christ, as we are abiding with each other and walking with each other, as we're connected to each other and in Jesus, as He nourishes us, as He strengthens us, as He prunes us to become more like Jesus, we bear fruit. God is calling us to transform our community, to transform the people around us. And if we're going to build our fences bigger and stronger, then we're going to isolate ourselves more and more. But God is calling us to stepping beyond the fence, stepping outside of what's comfortable, stepping outside of what's easy, stepping outside of what's clean, what we've always known, to walking with our community in their pain and their hurt, to walking with our community in their confusion, in their lack of trust for us, in the uncomfortable places, to be able to see God do great and mighty things. Remember, as a vine is designed to grow and bear fruit, just needing the right conditions, we are designed to grow and bear fruit under the right conditions. The conditions are that we abide in God and that He abides in us, and then we will bear fruit. A final reflection. Who did you invite to the Easter services? Who did you talk about the true meaning of Easter in the last couple of weeks? Whose ears have you knocked on to tell the words of Jesus? Who have you cried with? Who have you laughed with? Who have you risked for? We've got to say, it's yucky being uncomfortable. But who said that we're supposed to be comfortable? God's calling us to great and mighty things. And He is also allowing us to be able to walk into that place. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to abide in You. We believe that we want to abide in You. But there's things that get in the way that show that maybe we don't value it as much as we should. God, we know that You have great and mighty plans for us. You have a purpose for us. You have a calling for us. You have a great plan for our lives, both now and forever, as people and as a church. And there's things that get in the way of that. Father, help us to conquer our fears. Help us to conquer our anxiety. Help us to be able to not chase after doing the hard things, but realizing the hard things aren't that hard when we're just abiding in You. Father, help us to take risks. Help us to tear down the fences in our life and around our church. Father, help us to be able to bear fruit and to see Your glory come. Father, help us to be committed to transformation, to life, to love. In Jesus' name, amen.